Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
I'm reading today from Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. In case I missed it. I don't have a dad joke for you today because I'm just not yet ready to laugh. It's been a hard week. Been a lot of hard weeks. And they keep coming at us. And just when we are able to stand in the shore, another wave comes and beats on us again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. God answers prayer. I believe that. And I live into that in my own faith. On the day I called you, you answered me, O God. You increased my strength of soul. And if ever we needed strength of soul, it is in these days. God answers prayers in three ways. Very simply, yes, no, wait. Yes, no, not yet. Yes, no, what in the world were you thinking? That may be how God responds. And God is always answering, but we're not listening. Or God may be answering with the answer we don't want. But God is always answering. When I was growing up, I had three major questions that formed my life. The first was, how will I know when I'm in love? That was a major question for me starting about 14. I kept asking that question. And finally, I sat down with my mother to say, how will I know when I'm in love? And she said the wisest words that helped me forever. Son, you'll know when you know. Not helpful at all. Secondly, what should I do with my life? I feel all this stuff within me. I've experienced all this stuff around me, but what should I do with my life? And thirdly, what is my God-given calling? Those three questions have tumbled around in me forever, and I still go back to them. And I still say to God, give me the answers, please. And God mainly says, keep working. On the day I called upon you, you answered my prayer, and suddenly I knew I was in love with a little brown-haired, brown-eyed girl that was standing in front of me. Yes, Brown-Eyed Girl is one of my favorite songs. And when Jimmy Buffett sings it, we hold hands. I married Gail. What should I do with my life? I went to seminary to be the best youth minister God had ever called. After about a year of youth ministry, I figured I had missed my calling. No one ever said to me, lock in. Exactly. Amen. And I love youth ministry. I loved working with youth. It was their parents. So I knew I'd missed something in there, and God was saying, you need to work with adults. You can be a kid. Your childlikeness, you got that one down. You need to work with the adults. And so God led me quickly into adult ministry. God answered my prayers. And God continues to answer my prayers. And I'm confident that God hears me and God responds. Has there ever been a time in your life when God let you down? Has there ever been a time in your life when God ignored your prayers? I think not. There have been times when I didn't want to hear what God was saying. There have been times when I didn't like the answer I was given. But the one thing I know without a doubt is God has always been beside me. And soon other prayers would come along. Help me to be a better husband. How do I be a good husband? How do I be a loving father? How do I be a strong leader? On the days that I prayed, God answered me and strengthened my soul. God challenged me as a father with two daughters who have been the blessing of our lives, much more than I deserved. We have two sets of boy-girl twin grandchildren. I told my sons-in-law they should buy a lottery ticket. I don't know how that happened. Neither do they. I keep trying to figure out, am I more Superman or Spider-Man or Batman? And my son-in-law knows the answer to that because he's a comic book aficionado. I'm not. I think I'm more like Dog Man, who I've just been introduced to. And God gave me my dream job. For 20 years, I led the ministries division of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, going all across the world, helping churches do church. And I loved every minute of that job. And then it was time to retire. And I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? What is your will for my life now? What are my giftedness? What am I supposed to do with my gifts now? And here I am with you. And I'm still calling out to God, and I'm still listening, and I'm still waiting. In the middle of the night when you are on my heart, I'm praying, God, what would you have us to do? As we pray for you in staff meetings, God, what would you have us to do? As we think strategically about the future, as we think about worship for meaning and inspiration, as we think about the administrative chores of this church, Lord, what would you have us to do? And God is answering, but we're not yet hearing. So what are we to do? There is no bat signal up there for us. There are no spider webs to sling and swing. Sometimes it feels more like kryptonite. We're to rest. We're to rest. You've been so busy doing as a congregation. You heard Annabeth's prayer this morning, Lord, we are tired. You've been a busy church. And during this summer season, I want you to rest. I want you to be here when you can be here, but if you need to rest on a Sunday morning, rest. I've never said that to a congregation before. Abraham Heschel, who is an inspiration to many of us, Jewish philosopher, escaped Nazi Germany at its height of evil. Heschel says these words, "When faith is completely replaced by creed, when worship is replaced by discipline, when love is replaced by habit, when the crisis of today is ignored because of the splendor of the past, when faith becomes an heirloom rather than a living fountain, when religion speaks only in the name of authority rather than with the voice of compassion, the message of faith is lost." And I got to tell you, this weekend, I've struggled to find my faith. When I see tanks and SUVs and Hummers running down the street of Washington, D.C., and I hear voices shouting, "No kings," almost 2,000 gatherings yesterday shouting, "No kings," while the street of D.C. is filled with the army. Where's faith? Where is the compassion of God? And many of us are so tired. Right now we can't hear the voice of God nor feel the compassion of God. So I want you to rest. My dad and I had a somewhat strained relationship. As I moved into late adolescence and young adulthood, my dad came home one day and said, "I don't love you anymore." He said it to my mother, but he looked at me and my baby brother at the same time he was saying those words. I knew my dad had messed around. I didn't know exactly the depth of it until we got into the divorce stuff. When my folks divorced, I blamed my dad. So Father's Day has a little bit of mixed feeling for me. But as I matured, as I prayed to God, "Help me love this man. Help this man love me," I came to understand that my dad was a good man with a few flaws. And one day I looked in the mirror and I said, "Oh, I'm a lot like my dad. Trying to be a good man with some flaws." Man, I hate those times. But the one thing my dad modeled for us growing up was to be kind. Even in my relationship with him, when I was being a self-righteous Pharisee, and I can tell you, I know how to be righteously indignant. I could have been a great Pharisee. Even in those moments, my dad taught us to be kind to everyone. And at our house, there were always red, yellow, black, white people all across the spectrum that came and went in our house. It was just one of those homes. I grew up in Milledgeville, Georgia. Any of you know Milledgeville? At the time of my growing up days, Milledgeville had the world's largest mental institution. Somewhere between 65 and 75,000 patients lived in Milledgeville. It's a fascinating history if you want to go back and look. If you were even sort of cross-eyed, they sent you to Milledgeville. My dad was a department head, and so we lived on the grounds. I was born in the asylum. And you think that says a lot about me. But what I say to you is that was God preparing me for church work. I lived with crazy people till I was 19 years old, some of them in my house. But we were kind to them. If there was ever a whipping at my house, it was because my dad or my mom knew we had been unkind to someone. And so I grew up with that deeply instilled in me. Everyone has something to teach us. Everyone is a person of worth. Everyone is in need of compassion. And when we look at each other and we smile at each other, we see only the surface. And we respond only with the surface. How you doing, Bo? I'm doing fine. And then I say, how you doing, David? You say, fine. I'm fine, you're fine, we're fine, everything's fine. We don't need Spider-Man. Until you look beneath the surface. Until you look beneath the surface. Because everything ain't fine. Everything ain't fine. And there are some of you who struggled with your dad like I struggled with my dad. So today is a hard day, even though it's a day of celebrating that love. But here's the thing. Today, across the world, people are gathering. People are gathering in peaceful demonstrations to say to the world, Jesus is our King. Jesus is our King. And when we claim that, we can release the fear that comes from the other. Are any kids in here? Crap. We carry that crap with us, and it sticks down here. The fear sticks down here. But when you can say, Jesus is my Lord, you can release that fear. Because the battle's already won. So for the next few days, for the next few weeks, I invite you to rest. Rest before the Lord. And pray these two prayers. Lord, what would you have us to do? And Lord, who would you have us to be? Lord, what would you have us to do? Lord, who would you have us to be? And we are going to experience what my friend Nancy DeClassy Wofford calls the intimate care of God. The intimate care of God. So crawl up into Abba's lap and let God rock you for just a bit. On the day I called, you answered me and strengthened my soul. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Forgive us, God, when our fear overtakes our faith. Forgive us. Forgive us when we are paralyzed and don't know how to pray. Forgive us when we elevate ourselves, ignoring our flaws, to the point of judging others and magnifying theirs. Thank you, God, for a community of faith that loves unconditionally. We pray all this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.